Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, February 21st edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Actually, quite a bit of news to talk about today. A lot of fight announcements. A lot of fights were broken yesterday, and a couple pieces of news as well to talk about. I should mention that the UFC Auckland weigh-ins are done now. Everyone on the card made weight except for Mackie Pitolo, who got sick. Didn't even step on the scale, and the fight with Takashi Sato was canceled, so that fight's off. Still 12 fights on the card. Everyone else made weight, including Dan Hooker and Paul Felder. So should be a really good card. Go back to Tuesday's edition of the podcast where me and Cole Sutton broke down the card and previewed it in full. All right, let's get to the news from today. I'm going to start with the fight announcement, and then I'll talk about some news, and then I'll get back to some more fight announcements. But I want to talk about this fight announcement because this one kind of took me by surprise yesterday when I saw it. Actually, there was two fights that really took me by surprise, but I'll talk about this one first. Chris Weidman will be returning at UFC Oklahoma City in the main event against Jack Hermanson. And yeah, I'm surprised about this matchup. First off, Weidman obviously fought his last fight at 205. He got knocked by Dominic Reyes. I don't think there's any shame in that, especially after Reyes just nearly beat John Jones. I mean, he really should beat John Jones. So to me, it's like Weidman lost to him at a higher weight class and got knocked out. That sucks, but it's not like that was a devastating loss, but he is moving back to 185 after that loss, which does surprise me a bit because we know how rough his kind of ending to his 185-pound run was, and I thought the 205 thing was like a fresh start for him, so I'm a little unsure why he's going back to 185, and for some reason, the UFC is giving him a really hard matchup here in Jack Hermanson. I thought they would give him kind of a tune-up fight, Chris Weidman, because if you look at his record, guys, he's lost five of his last six fights by knockout. He's getting knocked out every fight now. He did have that win over Calvin Gastelum in there in 2017, but even in that fight, he got dropped at one point. So this is the guy whose chain is just not the same as it used to be. And I really thought fight to kind of just, work on his confidence a little bit after all these devastating knockout losses like Reyes, obviously, in the last fight, and then Souza, Rusasi, Romero, and Rockhold at 185. Again, these are all like elite guys he's leading to, I guess, except for Rockhold. But the rest of these guys are just elite at the top of their game. And even when he lost to Rockhold, Rockhold was the best in the world at 185. So, I think that Chris Weidman still could potentially bounce back. He is 35. He's a little bit older. I just think that this is a tough fight, and I think he probably gets knocked out again by Jack Hermanson, who's a very dangerous guy. And again, I'm just a little surprised by the matchmaking here because Hermanson is ranked in the top 10. I thought he would get a guy who's ranked so high. Not a guy, Chris Weidman, was moving back down a weight class, which lost all these fights in a row. Hermanson did get knocked out by Jared Cannonier's last fight. Before that, won four straight, including a really big win over Jacare Souza. I mean, this guy is really good and very dangerous. He's able to submit people and knock them out. I actually think he probably knocks Chris Weidman out in this fight. I think this is a bad matchup for Chris Weidman. Again, I'm just surprised he didn't get a tune-up fight just to get his confidence back on track. This is a bad matchup for Chris Weidman, and this five-round fight, I don't think it goes the full five. I don't think Hermanson will need that much time to get the finish of this fight. It's unfortunate. I respect Chris Weidman, but he's just not the same guy he once was. And I got a comment here, John Doe knocked out every fight. I mean, he's been knocked out five of his last six fights, man. I shouldn't say every fight, but look at his recent record, dude. It's scary, man, how many times he's been getting KO'd lately. Like, you talk about guys that aren't able to take the punishment they used to be able to. Chris Weidman's right at the top of the list, so it's unfortunate. Because this guy at one point was like such a big star when he beat Anderson Silva those two times. That was 7 years ago now. It's crazy how fast time goes by. But 7 years ago since that win over Anderson Silva. And again, he does have the win over Gastelum for 3 years ago. But at this point, 3 years ago is a long time ago. And I just think that they could have given him someone a little bit ranked lower in this division. Anyways, I'll get to some news quickly here. Dana White spoke at Donald Trump's political rally yesterday in Colorado. It was just Dana White basically praising Donald Trump, called him his good friend, called him a very loyal man, said he was an amazing president and loves the country. And obviously, the whole MMA Twitter thing kind of just went off on Dana. Most people, it seems like, in MMA don't really like Donald Trump or Dana White, to be quite frank. A lot of the people who are fighting for, I guess, more fighter rights were coming out yesterday and stuff. It is what it is. I mean, we all know Dana White and Donald Trump have a close relationship, I guess, going back 20 years, really when Donald Trump helped the UFC kind of establish itself in Atlantic City and get an event there. But you know, to me, like I'm a Canadian, so I do pay attention somewhat to American politics because obviously it does affect the rest of the world. But I'm not as into it, I guess, that as probably some Americans are. I think they were a little bit more, like, I guess, upset that Dana White was speaking about it. I saw a lot of the comments on Facebook were like, "I'm not going to watch UFC anymore." But how would you not? How did you not know that Dana White and Donald Trump were like good buddies? Like, everyone knew that. So to me, it wasn't like surprising to hear him say this stuff. It's not like he hasn't said comments like this before. It is what it is. But yeah, definitely. Basically, Dana just saying how great Trump was, and you know, that bothered a lot of people. John Blachowicz, he proposed a four-man light heavyweight tournament, which is something a lot of us have been saying recently. Basically, he wants to fight John Jones, and he thinks that Thiago Santos should fight Dominic Reyes, and it makes a lot of sense. So it's not like this isn't something a lot of us journalists have said, including myself, but nice to hear a fighter actually say that, and you know, got pretty good, I guess, feedback from fans. They were excited about the idea of this four-man tournament. It's not really a tournament per se because Jones obviously is the champ, but it kind of is a little bit. I think it makes a lot of sense. I've talked about this. Put them on the same card. If there's an injury, you can move up one of those other guys to the main event. Thiago Santos is not happy UFC offered an unranked opponent. He wants a top guy, and he should fight Dominic Reyes, quite frankly, in my opinion, or Blachowicz if they don't give him the title shot. They give it to Reyes. So see what the UFC does here, but definitely seems like Blachowicz is interested in maybe like a mini four-man tournament. Kevin Scott, Weidman is 1-5 with 5 KO losses since USADA showed up. Not sure if it's USADA related or if it's just him, you know, getting older and taking a lot of punishment. But yeah, he has been knocked out quite a bit, like you said, Kevin. And some people will draw that conclusion. It's not like he's the first fighter that's been drawn conclusions to like that. John Doe, rumor is Chris will utilize wrestling skills for the rest of his career. No more striking will be used by Chris during his fights. Well, it is MMA, as you know, John Doe. But yeah, I mean, he really should get back to the wrestling. That's where he had a lot of success early in his career. He did knock out Anderson Silva and then kind of went to the striking part of his game. But yeah, you know, if you look back at his early career, like the Tom Lawler fight, that was like him taking Lawler down. The Mark Munoz fight, he didn't knock him out too, actually, on the feet. But maybe those two fights kind of were the ones where he fell in love with the striking as the Anderson Silva Mark Munoz fight, but like the Tom Lawler fight, the Jesse Bonfell fight, Lesto Sakara. So his early fights were him taking guys down and beating them up on the ground. Then he fell in love with the striking, which happens to a lot of guys, and has not really worked out for Chris Weidman. Again, he did finish Kelvin Gastelum on the ground a few years ago, but I feel like Chris Weidman from 3 years ago was a lot different than Chris Weidman in 2020. And I actually say this taking that I like Chris Weidman. I think he's at one point was a great fighter. It's just unfortunate that this sport is so cruel to guys as they get older. At age 35, I just don't see him being a title contender, and I'm just surprised that he's fighting such a tough guy here in Jack Hermanson. This is a really dangerous matchup for Chris Weidman. I just can't see it ending well for him. Steve Smith, I appreciate your presentation. I appreciate that, man. Edmund Shahbazyan versus Derek Brunson. That's been moved to UFC Portland. I should mention this as well. So not a new fight announcement by any means, but this fight was supposed to happen at UFC 248. It's been moved. So that sucks because UFC 248 at one point had Cannonier versus Till and Brunson Shahbazyan on it. So two amazing middleweight bouts, and they've been moved now. So it kind of sucks, right? It's still a good card, but not the same card it once was like 2 weeks ago. Just looking at it right now, the main card is Adesanya Romero, Zhang, Jan Jacek, Magny, Jing Liang, and O'Malley versus Quinones. So those are the four fights. And then I'm assuming they'll move something like, just looking at it right now, Darius Close or Oliveira Griffin to the main card. So it's still a solid card, but I am surprised they moved this fight. Although Shahbazyan said that it had something to do with Derek Brunson and an issue with the commission. He didn't want to elaborate, but you have to just kind of, I guess you could speculate what that is. I don't really know. I mean, I don't think it was a drug testing thing because he's still going to fight the next month. So it's kind of weird. Could have been like a medical thing, like something showed up in the MRI and the commission didn't want him to fight there. I really don't know. But yeah, this fight, unfortunately, will be happening at UFC Portland instead of in 2 weeks. This card's coming up in 2 weeks. Crazy, guys. This one's really creeping up on us. I'm really excited for this card. All right, let's get to some other fight announcements here. This one, when I saw this, guys, yesterday, I was like, what? Mauricio Shogunov versus Antonio Rogério Nogueira. The trilogy will be happening at UFC 250. That's May 9th in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I was just like flabbergasted when I saw this. Like, very strange matchmaking here. I don't understand the point of this fight. Once in 2005, once in the UFC in 2015. Shogun won decision both times. The last fight was actually a really good fight. It won fight of the night. That was on the same card that Ronda Rousey knocked out Best Correa on, so it's been that long. It was a good fight, don't get me wrong. I just don't understand really why this third fight needs to be run back again. At this point, I think that Shogun and Nogueira, if they didn't retire, because they're both getting up there in age for sure, especially Nogueira. Nogueira's 43, guys. He's really old. Like, he's, I think, by far the oldest guy in this division at this point. He might be the oldest fighter on the roster, I think, at this point. I mean, Dan Henderson's obviously gone. I think he actually might be the oldest fighter. There might be some heavyweight that I can't think of right now, but I think it's Nogueira, which is crazy. And Shogun's 38, so he's still, like, somewhat young, which is crazy, right? It feels like Shogun's been 30-something forever. Anyways, I am surprised about this fight, though. Like, I just don't see the point of it because Shogun already won the first two fights. So I don't really know why they need to run it back for a third time. I would have rather seen Shogun and Nogueira be used as gatekeepers, like Shogun versus someone like Alexander Rakic. That's a fight I would have liked to have seen. You know, someone that's on the up and up that can get a big win over a veteran like Shogun and catapult his career. And for Nogueira, he just lost to Ryan Spann in like a gatekeeper kind of fight. And I thought that's the way the UFC is going to use him. Maybe these guys told the UFC, you know what, this is the last fight we want to have in our careers and we want to fight each other in Brazil. I'm not really too sure what's going on here, but I don't understand the matchmaking. I would assume Shogun wins this fight because he is 5 years younger and he did win the first two fights. But, you know, Nogueira does have some knockout power and he's got really good boxing. I just don't trust anyone who's 43 years old in the UFC. It's just very strange. Kevin Scott, Derek Brunson illness was the reason I saw for the fight being moved. It could be, but I think I saw Shabazi say it's commission related, so I'm not 100% sure, but the fight was moved, so that's all we know for now. It does suck, though. I mean, I know that some people bought some tickets for this. Marcus Williams, who's a big fan of this podcast, I don't know if he's in the chat right now, but I know he bought tickets and he was kind of upset about this and that other fight being moved, canceled, I should say, Cannoneer and Till. A lot of people were buying tickets for that fight, but, you know, that's nothing the UFC can do. I mean, it's a visa-related issue, and I'm sure Dana talked to Donald Trump, but I think it's maybe even out of Trump's hands at this point. Like, it's a visa-related issue, and, you know, hopefully Till gets that taken care of. He needs to fight in the U.S. to become a champion in the UFC. All right, so got Nogueira and Shogun out of the way. Next up, another fight, UFC Oklahoma City. So that's the same card with Weidman and Hermanson. Heavyweight bout between Andre Arlovski and Phillip Lins, who has just signed with the UFC. And this is a really nice signing for the UFC. Phillip Lins is actually a really good fighter. He won the PFL heavyweight tournament 2 years ago. He didn't fight at all last year. I don't know why. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he is a PFL champion. He beat Josh Copeland, Jared Rochal, Cal Alencar, and Alex Nicholson in PFL. He's a former Bellator fighter. Didn't have a great run in Bellator, just 3-3. He had some bad knockout losses there, but really looked good in PFL, and I think this is a pretty solid signing for the UFC. I mean, this guy is a little bit older, though. He's 34, so a little bit older than your normal like prospect. Having said that, it is heavyweight, so guys tend to peak at a later age. He's fighting Arlovski, and I talked about Nogueira being 43. Arlovski's 41, so he might be one of the other older fighters in the roster. Not the oldest, obviously, but definitely the top five oldest. Arlovski coming off a quick knockout loss to Yarzino Rozenstruik in just 29 seconds. He did have a win over Ben Rothwell last year, which was a nice win for him. But overall, it's just 1-4-1-0 contest in his last six fights. Hasn't looked very good lately. I got to go with Phillip Lins in this fight, guys. I think that he's going to be a decent-sized favorite at the sports books. Even though he doesn't have UFC experience, most people will be looking to fade Andre Arlovski and his chin at this point of his career. Also on that card, UFC Oklahoma City, Da-Eun Jung will be taking on Ed Herman. So an interesting fight. Again, Ed Herman being used as a gatekeeper, which I kind of like. At this point in his career, he's not a contender, but he does put on good fights. And Herman's coming off a really nice win in his last fight over Kadrus Ibragimov at UFC Zabit versus Kader. It was a great fight. Probably should have won fight of the night. Awesome fight. He also beat Patrick Cummins the fight before that by knockout to snap a three-fight losing skid. So Herman's coming on strong right now at age 39. So he's another guy who's really old. Da-Eun Jung, 32 years old, 13-2 in his career. He's on a nice win streak right now, 12-fight win streak. Beat Mike Rodriguez and Kadrus Ibragimov in the UFC. So they both have that win over Ibragimov. Yeah, you got to go with Da-Eun Jung here. I mean, this guy is on a nice win streak, 12 fights in a row, 11 of those wins by stoppage. And Ed Herman at this point in his career is not the same durable guy he once was. Da-Eun Jung probably knocks him out. Next up, an injury to Puna Soriano as taking him out of this fight with Eric Spicely. Now, Eric Spicely will be taking on Roman Kopylov. So probably an easier fight for Spicely. I think Soriano probably would have KO'd him pretty quick. Spicely is 12-5 in his career. In the UFC, though, he struggled pretty bad. He's 2-6 in the UFC overall, or 2-5, excuse me. But yeah, he struggled pretty bad in the UFC. He's coming off a really good fight though with Deron Williams, an awesome fight, one fight of the night. But he hasn't won a fight since 2017 in the UFC. He does have a couple wins outside the UFC since then. His most notable win, of course, submission win over Thiago Santos from 2016. So this guy does have a good ground game, but his durability is a huge question mark. He's been knocked out a bunch of times in the UFC, or I shouldn't say a bunch of times, but twice in the UFC and then once more in Ultimate Fighter. So three times. I guess that's quite a bit for someone who doesn't have that many fights. And then he takes on Roman Kopylov here. Kopylov coming off a loss to Carl Roberson. He's 8-1. That was the first loss of his MMA career. And that was his UFC debut. Before that, he had knocked out a bunch of people in Russia. And he probably knocks out Eric Spicely in this fight, if I had to guess. Although it is being taken on pretty short notice, 1 month notice. And the last matchup here, Grant Dawson against Derek Minner. And Grant Dawson's had a lot of issues lately with USADA. And I don't know what's going on there. But he will not be able to fight in Nevada. Instead, he's going to be fighting in Norfolk. And he's taking on Derek Minner. He's supposed to fight Chas Skelly. That fight was canceled again. But anyways, Grant Dawson is a very good prospect, 14-1. And in the UFC, he is 2-0. Beat Julian Arosa, beat Mike Trezano. Derek Minner, he is making his UFC debut here. He did fight in the Contender Series last year. He lost to Herbert Burns. Since then, won two straight fights on the regional scene over guys I honestly have never heard of before. Actually, no, he beat Terrence McKinney, who was in the Contender Series as well. That's actually a decent win. He also has some wins on the regional scene, like Clay Collard, who was in the news recently for his boxing match. He's got a win over a guy named Brown. It's not the same match, Brown. It's a different one. That's pretty much it, though. I guess his most notable win would be Clay Collard or McKinney. But, yeah, you know, it's a guy who's 24-10. He's a journeyman. He's been finished a lot of times. I don't really know why the UFC needed to sign this guy. Wasn't there someone else on the roster they could have given a short notice fight to instead of signing someone else? I don't know. They gave him a chance, though. I mean, whatever. Good for him. He's getting a chance. He's going to make better money than he did in the regional scene. But you got to like Grant Dawson in this fight. I mean, he should win this fight. Kevin Scott, John Doe. It means that since you saw it implement their drug testing program, Weidman has been a terrible fighter. He's been KO'd in 5 of 6 and was also nearly KO'd in his only win during that time. It is true. He almost got knocked out by Gastelum. And he's lucky they survived that fight. Could have been 6 straight knockout wins. He's been dropped in all those fights. I'm not hating Chris Weidman because, I actually like him. He's a really nice guy. And, he, again, was a great fighter at one point. Just hard to see a guy, you know, lose this often. I'm just going to look at his last couple fights, see how many knockdowns he's had. So he's had the one knockdown against Reyes in the Souza fight. He was knocked down once, so it's 2 knockdowns. Gastelum, let's see how many knockdowns here, guys. Count them up here. 3 knockdowns in the last 3 fights. Usasi fight, did it count as an official knockdown? No, they didn't count it, but he did get finished. And then Romero, obviously, he got hit with that flying knee, so 4 knockdowns. And then Luke Rockhold. Don't know if there was a knockdown. No knockdown, technically, but he did get finished. He got beat up really bad in that fight, and that fight probably shouldn't have stopped sooner than there was. So 4 knockdowns in the last 6, but it could have been 6 knockdowns. Yeah, it's just tough to watch him fight right now. You know, again, at one point, he was a big star. Beat Anderson Silva twice. He's the guy who beat Anderson Silva. We're all waiting for someone to beat Anderson Silva. That's Chris Weidman. We're all waiting for someone to beat John Jones. Who's it going to be? Hopefully whoever beats him doesn't turn into Chris Weidman and just get KO'd almost every time he steps into the cage. It's just hard to watch. If anyone has any questions, throw them in here, guys. I'm just going to look at some other news here. Colby Covington did an interview, and he says that he thinks that there's a rematch coming with Kamaru Usman. He says the UFC is interested in it. I'd like to see a rematch. I'm sorry, now I don't see the point of having it right now. I mean, just lost to him. Take some time off, get a win. I don't know if it's Colby blowing smoke or what, if the UFC really is interested. Not too sure, but yeah, I mean, nice to see him just get a win, get back in the win column. Michael Chiesa called him out. That's a good fight. Michael Chiesa is ranked really high right now. That's an interesting fight. I'm thinking he probably waits for the loser or winner of Leon Edwards and Tyron Woodley. Woodley versus Covington is still a pretty big fight. I think there's a lot of beef there between those two guys. It'd be a good fight. But yeah, Usman better be fighting Masvidal next. I don't want to see any other fight. That's the only fight that makes sense in this division at this point. Michael Chiesa, he responds after Coach Fabia revealed his plans for like a death choke. Apparently, Josh Fabia and Diego Sanchez warned the commission when they fought that basically there was a move that Sanchez had been learning that could kill someone, and Chiesa just laughed it off. Chiesa ended up dominating that fight. All this Josh Fabia stuff is ridiculous. There was a story yesterday that came out. Emil Meek, he's fighting actually Jake Matthews tomorrow, but he was talking about how he was training with Diego, and Josh Fabia was doing some drill where he would run after him with like a knife to work on his defense and evasion or something. It's just ridiculous. There are some other fighters there. And apparently, Neil Meek just says it's he doesn't believe really. Like, he likes the guys, but he doesn't believe in their training methods. And when I read this, I just laughed. I thought it was hilarious. It's just funny. This Josh Jacobs guy, he's getting a lot of push right now from the media, which is really funny. What else? Chael Sonnen defended Diego Sanchez DQ win. I mean, again, you know, he said exactly what a lot of us said, that it was a smart business decision. It is. But, you know, there's flack that comes with that. And the same thing would have happened had, like, Anthony Smith taken a DQ against John Jones. He would have got the same flack, if not worse, because it was a title fight. And at least see anything else I want to talk about, see if there's any more odds coming up out there. I did see that Wilder and Fury will not be able to, like, face off after their weigh-in today. So that kind of sucks. But there was that shoving match. So it is what it is. There were some new odds actually released right now for Bellator 239. So that's interesting. If you guys want to bet on the Bellator prelims, there is a bunch of odds out right now, including Keith Lee, Kevin's brother, and JW Kaiser, that guy that's, what's his name? Jake Hager beat that guy. And that's really about it. Actually, there's a few other fights. Yeah. With odds for Bellator, there came out Beck Rawlings fight as well. So again, if you guys are interested in betting on Bellator, definitely do that. And oh, hey, they opened the odds for Shevchenko Valentina. I just saw this right now. Valentina Shevchenko, minus 1,200. Joanne Calderwood, plus 800. I said yesterday, Joanne or Valentina would be minus 1,000. So I was kind of close. Minus 1,200 for Valentina. And very justified. She's probably going to beat Joanne Calderwood in pretty easy fashion. I don't know if she finishes the fight or not, but she's going to win that fight. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A couple more questions. Can Chris make a comeback? Has he still got the juice? I don't know, man. I can't see it happening. Not at this point in his career. Too many knockout losses, you know? Like, it really adds up. He needs to take some time off. Like, he took a few months off, but really not that much time. And the jumping weight classes thing, I don't think that's good for him. Will Dan win by knockout? I do believe Dan Hooker does win by knockout against Paul Felder tomorrow. Anyone has any last second questions? Here we go. Montgomery, Whitmore, 3 Bellator events in 1 weekend. It's more like 2. They just do it weird. They have the same event, same venue, but they call it 2 different events. I don't really know what's going on there. But yeah, there is 2 Bellator cards. There's 1 tonight and 1 tomorrow, or 2 tomorrow, whatever you want to call it. UFC tomorrow, and then the boxing match. So crazy weekend, guys. But, you know, we all love combat sports, so it's going to be a good weekend for us, and I'm sure it's going to be busy for us writers. All right. I think that's it for today. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. I love the back and forth in the comment section, so I really appreciate that, guys. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and you guys can check out my stuff at MMAoddsbreaker.com, BJPenn.com, and MMArings.net. Again, crazy weekend for us combat sports lovers. It should be a good time. It should be some good cards. I'll be back Monday breaking down everything that happened over the weekend, so it's going to be a good show on Monday. Definitely check that out. And then Tuesday, the UFC Norfolk preview. Never ends. All right, guys, have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.